And of course I don't seem to really like it. But this is the truth. And I find that a lot of people in spiritualism who ought to know better, they don't always like the complete truth. They like a half truth. Or they'll accept something that fits their own idea of things. I've always tried, and I sincerely say that, I've always tried to be fair and open and honest and play the game. I don't say that my mediumship is always as wonderful as some people would like to think, or what they may read in psychic news, and it's only natural that the publicity will be given to the successful sitting. There is no publicity to be given for without sitting, because there's nothing to report anywhere. And of course, very rarely does publicity given to a sitting that's not too good, but that's not interesting either. But what I'm trying desperately to point out is that all of those who may be here tonight, who are seeking, and they are sincere in their attitude towards the subject, and they go about it in the right way, with an open mind, and yet not going to accept just anything willy-nilly, and bear with the medium, realize up and down the medium is only a channel, and the medium is not responsible for what may come through his or her mediumship. Once the door is open, once the mediumship is functioning, then it's outside, invariably in most cases, it's outside the medium. And whatever may come through, whether it is good, whether it is bad, or whether it is indifferent, is not the medium's responsibility. Sometimes it can be placed even to the sitter. Sometimes the sitter themselves can interfere, or they can even bring a bad influence into the circle. You know, the best results, of course, obviously, in psychical research or spiritualism, call it what you will, that's just the name, is in the home circle. I've always been a great advocate of the home circle. I sat 7 years in a home circle with dedicated people who gave up their time to develop me as a medium. They were not interested in themselves, they were merely interested in making it possible for my mediumship to be brought forward and developed. And while I live, I shall always stress the most important thing and the most valid thing, the most, to my way of thinking, the most necessary thing in spiritualism is the home circle. I don't talk about public circles. I think they may serve a purpose in some respects for some people. But the home circle, where everybody knows each other, no one has got an axe to grind, they're all good friends together in harmony and in love, waiting for something to transpire, which will help them, comfort them, and uplift them. There's no money buzz, there's no professional medium. And whatever happens in that group, if they approach it from the right aspect, from the right frame of mind, and they sit in love and in brotherhood and in harmony, I'm convinced that sooner or later they will see evidence or mediumship will develop. I can remember donkey's years ago being taken to Camden Town to sit with a medium who lived in the most squalid place that one could possibly imagine. There was no carpet, nothing on the stairs, not even a little linoleum. And we all packed ourselves into this little tiny upper room. We hardly breathed. On a hot summer's night, the place smelled. Some people would have said that's the worst condition you can have for a circle. I probably would agree in some respect. But never before or since have I heard mediumship compare for what happened in that room. Here was this poor, blinded woman who couldn't speak the King's English to save her life, who had, was the mother of about 5 squalling kids downstairs, and no shoes and stockings. And when she was in trance, and she was in the trance, she wasn't at home, you think, we had mediumship, which I would love to see in the movement. I would give almost anything that were in my power to have that kind of mediumship back in spiritualism. Here was an uneducated woman speaking, entities speaking through her in a way which would have been absolutely impossible. She couldn't possibly have done it. Different entities, different voices, different personalities, beautiful diction, delivery, obviously beyond her. can look back on great leadership, and I would go as far as to say that this woman, who nobody had ever heard of, she was a non-entity, just an ordinary, gold-lined, cockney woman, housewife, goodness knows what else. And that's leadership. I've heard the great ones, I've heard Estelle Roberts, and I've heard them all, most of them. No, not one of them could have be compared in the same breath with this woman. This is leadership. It's got nothing to do with education or breeding or background or how you conduct yourself on the platform, how well dressed you are, how well spoken you are. You see, the tragedy of spokesperson, as I see it, for what it's worth, is it's become too respectable. In those days, it wasn't considered respectable. We were still only just emerging, you might say, from the Edwardian era, when it was the custom and the passion to make your entertainment in the home. When you sang round the piano, you had your social evenings, there were not the distractions, of course. And this is what happened. Over a century ago, spiritualism, as we understand it or know of it, developed from the home. This is the place where it was born. And that is where you'll get real mediumship. As soon as a medium becomes a professional medium, and I know this from experience, the stress and the strain starts. You've got to please, or at least you're expected to please, everybody. People, if you're well known, or you become well known, you're publicized, which is very nice, let's face it. I mean, we all like to be praised for our work, whatever it is. And people read about you, and they want to see you, and you're inundated with letters and requests and telephone calls, and they come on your doorstep, they ring your bell, and they get that foot in the door, and they won't take it out. And with the best will in the world, you want to help all these people, and you bleed, your heart bleeds for them. I get letters. I mean, this is another answer. I could go on for hours. There's another aspect. You get letters from people, heart-rending letters, assuming that they're all genuine, heart-rending letters from people saying, like I've got one on my desk now, 6 full-step pages. My darling daughter was taken from me, her name was so-and-so, and she died so-and-so, and so-and-so, and so-and-so. And in this 6-page full-step letter, there's all the information that any medium, if they're not genuine, would like. It would be the simplest thing if one were a fake medium to give that woman a sitting and reiterate all that. But of course, I wouldn't give that woman a sitting, assuming that her letter is a genuine letter, which I'm quite sure it is in this case. I wouldn't give her a sitting. In fact, when I do get down to writing, I shall write and say, dear Mr. So-and-so, thank you for your letter. I'm very sorry to hear of your tragedy, etc., etc., etc. But in my opinion, even if I could arrange a sitting for you, which I cannot at this moment, I suggest that you try to reach another medium, but do not divulge any information in your letter. There was no genuine medium want to know anything whatever about his or her sitting, other than the fact that they are sincere in their approach and in that inquiry. That is another aspect of mediumship. And the point is, of course, it's obvious that if you are what is termed, probably expression, a star medium or a popular medium, you will be inundated with requests for sittings, and it becomes a tremendous temptation to overtax yourself, to try to do too much. And I don't just mean purely on a material or financial basis, because you wouldn't be a medium unless you are highly sensitive and you felt intensely for other people and their troubles and their problems. And it is a natural instinct in a medium to want to serve and to help and to comfort people. And there is this tendency, there is this temptation to find yourself overtaxing your mediumship, overtaxing your health. In consequence, your mediumship will begin to suffer. And in consequence, if you continue like that, you might even lose your mediumship. And I think this is quite certainly true, that some mediums do lose their mediumship to some extent. It may come back after a rest. But one has to guard oneself, not only for your own self, for your health's sake, but also to retain your mediumship and retain face with the people who come to you. That is why I am pleased when I do not achieve any result as a sitting. I am not ashamed of that. I'm proud of it. I'm as proud of my failures as I am as proud of my successes. And I say my successes are not my successes, they're successes from the people on the other side. And I feel that until we as spiritualists have an intelligent approach to this whole subject about mediums and mediumship, and what is evidence and what is not evidence, and if something comes through you can't accept it, then all right, you discard it, but if it has been recorded, perhaps you may play that recording at some later date to somebody else, and somebody will say, my God, that's so-and-so and so-and-so. At the time when it came through, you didn't even know what it was all about. The best evidence, of course, is always that which the sitter knows nothing at all about. The obvious is never the best evidence. So when you go to a medium and you receive something that at that moment doesn't appear to have any meaning or any evidential value, that may be the most evidential part of your sitting. And if you've had it recorded and you play it to friends or relations at some later date, quite often, and this has happened so often at my sittings, person has said, oh, well, I know who that is. That's so-and-so, or she can't say, or whatever. And that is evidence. Now, as I said earlier, I could go on and on, and that might be a bit of a bore for some, but I have brought some recordings. Now, I want to make this quite clear, which I always do. I never present these tape recordings as any evidence to you whatsoever. Evidence is what you get personally when you yourself seek it and eventually, I hope, find it. In other words, second-hand evidence is no good to anybody. Evidence is something that you must personally obtain for yourself individually. I only put on these tape recordings to give you some idea of what it can be like to sit at a seance with me when the conditions are favourable and we achieve good results. In some cases, the voices are strong, clear-cut, and in some cases, are very, I'm told by people who should know, very like the voice of the individual when on earth. But this is, as I said earlier, not necessarily always so. In fact, it's much rarer to get a voice that has the same sort of quality and sound as it did when on earth. But anyway, I'm going to play these, and then after that, anyone who wants to ask me any question, and I don't mind how pertinent or how personal the question is, I'm not afraid of criticism, in fact, I welcome it. If anyone wants to ask me any question after the recording, I'll do my best. I may not be able to answer all the questions, I don't have all the answers, but I'll do my best after the recording.
First voice you hear will be the control who calls himself Mickey.
Hey, sometimes, isn't it, whether it's your world or this. People forget that, you know. I mean, people get strange ideas, I think. I suppose it's natural in a way because of their background, not being, but people are all sorts over it. They don't suddenly become angels because they kick the bucket, you know. Well, you get people think that if they're lucky, they'll be in a white robe and they'll be playing harps or whatever, singing their all up on the right side, you know. It's all so stupid. I don't know where they got all that from. And all this business of having wings. What about molting time? Anyway, that won't get babies, but I'll get over the works. It don't try.
The next voice you hear is a lady who is describing the environment in which she is living, which, she says, is 100,000 times nicer than here on Earth.
So I'm perfectly happy here. Yeah. I'm waiting for you to share it with me and the children. We will have a wonderful existence together.
Yeah.
And there will be so much to experience, you know, so much to learn, so much to do.
Yeah.
And I just feel that we can be useful too, you know. People have strange ideas. You know, anyone here who has progressed at all sees themselves as being of help and comfort and use to others.
Exactly.
We don't live selfishly. We live in a community where everyone works for the common good in joy and happiness.
Yeah.
There is no bitterness, no unhappiness. Only joy, you know, in our hearts.
And the fog between our disabilities.
Well, if you could visualize the most beautiful spot in the world, your world, with all the things taken away that destroy, all the things that are well, irritating or things which cause undue concern or whatever, you know, that is unpleasant. If you could visualize the most beautiful place without any of the things that, you know, worry one, in a material sense, free of worry and anxiety, just to enjoy sheer beauty and loveliness.
Yeah.
Nature exists here, the same as it does on Earth, but more perfectly so. We have birds, we have trees, we have forests, we have lakes, we have mountains, we have flowers.
Yeah.
I have been places where I suppose you would say it is like a forest of flowers.
Yes.
Where the flowers are as tall as trees.
Uh-huh.
And you can wander through them, and the perfume and the colors, with the light shining through all the different colors, it is in a kaleidoscope of beauty and perfume. I don't know, I wish I knew how to put it into words.
Yes.
But if one can visualize the beauties of your world magnified 100,000 times, you would have some idea.
Yeah.
Taking away from all the material, all the things that cause concern or distress, here there is a state of perfection.
Yeah.
And yet I am told there are other spheres far removed from me that are even more beautiful.
The next voice you hear is an entity which, when he lived on Earth, was known as Will Rogers. Communicator said that her name was Floy Thompson.
Hello. Oh, I'm so funny. Yes, I know. I'm so
hello.
A lot of old faces I remember here. Quite a number of faces I remember. Back from the old days. Oh, dear, oh, dear.
Wouldn't you like to tell them who you are?
Floy. It's Floy Thompson. It's old Floy. It's old Floy.
Oh, Floy Thompson.
Hello.
Oh, we remember you, Floy Thompson.
Oh, I hope so.
We've heard you many times.
I should be bloody disappointed, boy, if you didn't remember me.
That's just how you would talk, too.
Oh, dear, that's it. The way I work, one way and another. You did my best to help everybody. I'd be bloody disappointed if you didn't remember me.
Well, we had you many times.
I know. I did a good job as best I could, you know.
We had you many times in the church.
Yeah, happy times.
Very happy times.
Well, I'm still doing a good job over here. I'm doing my best, and I'm hoping to come back and help in some of the churches like I used to in the old days, you know.
We're very
had some happy times at the churches.
That's quite true. We're very pleased to hear from you again.
How are you, mate?
Oh, fine.
The following communicator said that she was Patrick Campbell.
My name is Patrick Campbell.
The Patrick Campbell?
Well, I had no idea that there was ever another.
I think you were quite right, friend, too.
I am Patrick Campbell.
Well, it's very nice to have you here, friend.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Can you hear me?
Yes.
But jokes apart.
We can hear you very well.
Jokes apart.
Yes.
I cannot tell you how delighted I am to be present here on such an occasion as this. And there are many souls, some whom no doubt you know by relationship, and others whom you know not, but are all who are interested in making a contact if possible. Of course, we cannot all communicate. That is quite out of the question. But There are those of us who, when on earth, were used to an audience, were used to public speaking, and had to declaim and so on. And I thought, personally, I thought it would be of some interest to you if I could reproduce something of my old self so that you could have this experience.
Next voice you hear will be White Feather, a guide.
White Feather. White Feather, come speak. White Feather.
White Feather?
Hmm. White Feather, come speak, children. White Feather, well, please, help up the community, come speak, children. White Feather, help many, many times. Come help in circles. Come give power. Come give blessing, great spirit. Much power in circles. Much healing power. Me always come Tuesday nights.
Bless you. And thank you for helping us.
The next communicator is that of an African guide, Mickey said later. Girl who called herself Beulah, who wants to help. Final voices are two spirit voices, a male and a female, who are speaking to each other in a foreign language.
Independent of me. Now, I could go into depth on this about the experiments conducted on me by the Sunday Express. I don't know if you read the articles they published some 3 years ago. Science editor had become interested in the possibility of communication, so we invited him to join our regular Thursday night home circle. And he sat with me for a whole year, and he had remarkable evidence of a personal nature. And also he brought other people from Fleet Street to do with the Express, and they also sat from time to time. And then he suggested that he would like to conduct a series of experiments using the latest scientific equipment, which was supplied by EMI. The EMI sent their own men to work the equipment, which included infrared machines that could photograph in the dark and also record. In fact, I had a whole series. Professor Bennett from New York City came over and other people were involved. I've always maintained that if a medium has an exceptional gift, such as mine, that she should willingly, where possible, cooperate with scientifically minded people, not spiritualists. Because tests conducted by spiritualists have no value outside of spiritualism at all. They're a waste of time. Those experiments must be conducted by people who are not involved, who are not spiritualists, who are open-minded, who will come into this with an open mind to find out for themselves. And this is what I've always endeavored to do, and I go as far as to say, and I'm proud of this, I'm the only medium in this country that has done this. Others have talked about it. Others have hummed and ahed about it and fished around about it, but they have never, ever allowed themselves to be experimented on by scientific people with scientific equipment. They've given so-called tests with spiritualists, but they're not tests. They're not valid. They're not acceptable to the man in the street. But mediumship such as mine is variable, is complex, and I'd be the first to admit that failure can happen. And there's no disgrace in failure. But you ask me about the voices, they are independent of me, they've been proven to be independent of me, and they are independent of me. And on some of our recordings of our seances, you will hear my voice speaking at the same time as an entity is speaking. And also, when I sat in America with individuals and professors from the college in New York City, in their own place and under their own conditions, where fraud was completely out of the question, we got results. I'm proud, if I'm proud of anything, apart from the fact that I've helped thousands of people over my lifetime, saved many from suicide, and I have wonderful letters. I'm proud of my mediumship, and I'm even more proud, if I can use that expression, which sounds bumptious, I can't help it if it does, but I'm proud of the fact that I've made a contribution towards scientific research into this subject. Now, who's next?
I wish that I can't get it right.
Terrestrial?
The extraterrestrial force is probably from other planets which have gone to the next Earth. Are you sure that you probably are not on the wavelength connected with these people?
Well, I wouldn't know how to answer that. I find it's quite enough for one medium contacting dead people that we've known without contacting people from terrestrial planets. I quite freely admit that I have an open mind on this, and it is feasible that it may be possible to make contact with people from other planets if they exist. But I can't answer your question because I honestly don't know. I think it's feasible if people on other planets do exist that through some form of mediumship, not necessarily mine, it may be possible to make contact with them, but I really can't answer your question because I don't know the answer.
Lord's voices, though, identify themselves at the center.
Oh, yes, usually they do, and most of the voices
do.
No.
Do you understand that, sir? Mr. Flint's voices always identify themselves at the seance, and therefore there's no question that you're in doubt as to who the person is. You see, so we don't have voices that come from other
planets.
Well, no, not of the Earth.
People who want to live on Earth. Anyway, I have to pass by you, sir. I'm sorry I can't help you because I don't know the answer. Yes, dear?
Can you interpret from another language,
Oh, yes. Well, this is another aspect of my mediumship. I don't say it happens all the time. That would be not truthful. But I have had people... you must remember that a lot of my work, and I would go as far as to say at least 25% of the sittings I give, are to people from other nationalities, other countries. And we do have, and we have had, a communication in a language which is completely foreign to me. But I would also say that it's not necessarily always easy. Whether it is because the whole auric emanation around and about me is English, and therefore I think in English, being the medium, and all the rest of it, the whole atmosphere, may make in some senses it more difficult. You see, what we have to bear in mind, that on the other side, language is no barrier at all. They don't communicate in language. They communicate in a telepathic way. They transmit thoughts, and thoughts are tangible, in as much as they know automatically what, presumably, they're trying to convey. So when they utilize the voice box, then they have to transmit as best they can. But we have had, and we have got recordings, of communications in languages of which I certainly know nothing. But I wouldn't say it's as easy. Don't ask me why it shouldn't be, because I don't know, other than the fact that it may be due to the fact that the whole condition is of an English nature, which may in some way affect or make it more difficult. But we have had, and we do have, communication in languages of which I know nothing. To the sipper, oh yes. Well, I think Mr. Jolly wants to get rid of me. I enjoyed myself. I hope it's been a sound opening, but I have not offended no one. I have only given you a sincerity what I've done and what I believe.